Well, we are going to keep our third through fifth graders here. Miss Laura, whoops, I didn't realize that was on there. Miss Laura wanted them to be able to see Makumbi, who in a few minutes we'll bring up here, but I'm going to give him a really good introduction. So just hang on there. I'm not going to make you do a 360 up here and look at everybody, because I'm going to brag on what God has done a little bit, and I don't want him to be embarrassed of it. And I'm going to say a few things here, because I know that it's hard to get up here and be humble. I mean, it's not hard to be humble. It's hard to brag on the things that God has done through you. And so I want to just let you guys know a little bit. Some of you have been here just this year, and you don't know any more than Makumbi from when the last time that he was here, which was the first time you saw him, where he had partnered with another, I think, great servant of God, which is Greg, and we've been going for the last 3 years over to do teaching, training pastors international in Africa. We're not going to talk about that today, but we're going to talk about Makumbi and what God has done through him, because we support and we acknowledge that TPI work in the fall, and then he comes here in May, and we focus on him. And he has been in Uganda. He grew up in Uganda. Some of you don't know. I'm going to give the real condensed story. He was born, his father and grandfather were witch doctors, and things did not work out well in his life, and so he came to this place where he needed Christ, and he gave his heart to Christ as an adult. And he felt God was calling him into the ministry. And so he taught himself how to read English so he could read the Bible. Then he taught himself how to read Arabic, because he wanted to minister in a Muslim community so he could read the Quran. And so he's a self-educated man, which is pretty amazing in itself. He started off in his house with himself, his wife, and three of her, well, they were relatives, may have been aunts and stuff, but there were five of them in their house. And then the church finally started to grow a little bit, and they met under a tree. Then they met under a little building that they had kind of thrown up, and this is where they meet now. And God has done a tremendous work in bringing people to Christ that now spans throughout the country, not just in this church alone. And we have seen God do a tremendous work because we've personally been there. And many of you sprinkled throughout here, I mean, not the majority of you, but some of you have been over to Uganda and worked. And we know the character and the heart of the people that have been discipled through your ministry. And they are wholeheartedly sold out to sacrifice and to bring the gospel to Uganda and to the people around them. And you walk in there and you meet people, and you immediately have that connection, knowing that this is your brother or sister in Christ. And it's a great ministry not to just build something that is a shell, but to build something that has true life inside of it. And one of the challenges that they have is that there's 85 to 90% unemployment. So most people are scraping out a living there. And it's very, very difficult. They realized, let me back this up right here. They realized when he first started and the church started to grow and they started leading some people from that Muslim community, when they come to Christ, they're out of the community. When they come to Christ, they're not welcome in their home anymore. When they come to Christ, it's especially if they're ladies, it's really difficult for them to survive. And so they started off, I think your first project was the chickens, right? And they realized, hey, we got to do something to be able to support these people who are coming to Christ. And so they had this chicken farm, and they worked in there and were able to become self-sufficient. And from there, it grew to other things where they started bringing some commerce into the community, which helped you with your relations with the Muslim community. Because they may not have liked Christianity, but they sure liked the benefits of it. and they liked the way that that this entrepreneurial work. And just to give you an idea how that's going, because that's we're talking about something 30 years ago that has been sustained all this time. Most of you remember when we went to Uganda that 2 weeks ago, Jonathan's brother Daniel was here. And Daniel had somehow gotten in contact over Facebook with somebody from Jinja. We didn't even know where it was. But when we finished teaching this year, they said, well, we'll take you to Jinja. We were going to go on someplace else, but they said, we're going to take you to Jinja. And so it clicked in Jonathan's mind. He said, I think I know somebody from there. Because he had been conversing for, what, 2 years? Okay, 2 years with this guy he didn't even know. His brother had never met him. And we went there and we met him, and he's got that refugee camp that we talked about that they had gone through to get their cattle, and they'd killed the men and they had to run, and they found some just as poor places I've ever seen in my life. And there's one guy who's there ministering. Well, we came back from that, and this guy that you see right here, that's Mukumbi's son. Because when they came back and they found out about that, they immediately went to help with that, because they looked to join and to partner and to meet needs. Now, this is how many hours away was our drive? It's supposed to be about. Well, not supposed to be. How long did it take to get there? It took 4 hours, a 20-minute drive. No, I'm kidding. But it's a long way away. But they got there and they went there, and the youth that we have in Sunday school are FaceTiming, and they're interacting with these children from this camp every week. And so I just wanted you to kind of get a feel of the heart of the people that are in this church and the ministry that's going on there. And these are some things that I'm not sure if this is one that we sent over or that Robert did, but he's there, and they are we can't take stuff to him. We can't. It's cool that you are interacting with him, but Mukumbi has reached out and sent people out of his church all over the country, and these are men who love God. Now, when he was here last time, he's been doing these projects. These fish ponds had been started, but not to the extent that they were today. But when he came here during COVID, he came to realize that America may not be able to support that ministry, and that he needed to really find a way to make sure that that ministry that he has, which is very broad, could be self-sufficient. And you're working on that, and that's a big project. But he's got these fish ponds right here. I love this picture. There's actually, I think, five of them that are side by side that they grow fish and bring them across. It's amazing how they do that. I love this picture, so I just threw it up. This is at the fish pond when we're walking down. It's a great thing. These are eucalyptus trees, and you see them. You see those big trees? We see them carried on 150 motorcycles all over the place. They're stacked everywhere. They use them all over the place. And Mukumbi realized that, hey, we can grow these trees, and then we can harvest them and sell them. And this is how wide the project is. All the way across that and up to the road right there, they've got these trees just finally getting ready to harvest. And so they're trying to move to a place where they can they can carry more of that load, and hopefully they'll never have to carry all of it. But if they do, he's working towards God providing for them for that. There's always a project going on there, because like I said, he is touching lives, building churches. This is a school and an orphanage that he has built, and he's doing this all over the country through men that he has discipled. And when we came here, they were building it. Here's the school today with kids. It's populated with kids. Last time we went over there, they're running everywhere. I showed you a picture of Jonathan playing with them. They've got these dormitories. And throughout the time, he's raised money to get beds so they're not sleeping on the floor. Here, the kids that are here holding up books and school supplies. They've had a school there, but it really helps to have some supplies with it and to have some books. these classrooms are built, and they're not completely finished, but they've got resources. The older children, some of them have rooms with desks. The younger children, like the ones who are not in here right now, and the elementary school, they sit on the floor because they haven't got chairs, they haven't got tables and stuff yet. And they teach in these buildings, these cubicles right here. And they, you know, I guess you can't, well, you might can see that better than I can up there. But they hand draw, they use whatever resources they have to get the job done. And they're dedicated to doing the job. When we first came, here was the school kitchen. And they were cooking outside. Now they have built a new building. They've built several buildings since we were there 10 years ago. And this is the new kitchen right here, which is underneath. And if you've been there during half the year, it's pouring down rain at times. And so having this inside is a big deal. There's a activity and a program center that he has built. Here he is with the head teacher. Or the headmaster of the school. I think that was Dave's head. And it's a big building right across here where they can have programs, invite parents in. They can have activities for the kids and do all kinds of different things. So it's really growing. This is the well that they had when we first came there. And now they have other sources of water that they've brought in. So they continue to make it better. Here is a better place to draw water. Right up there is where they catch the rain. And so they've got well water to drink, and they store that. Here's John Pratt. You know how adventurous he is. You notice that Jonathan, now if Jonathan won't go there, it's probably a little scary out there. I'm up there and I'm saying, I ain't going out there. I'm not gonna get bit by a snake or something like that. But John, he wanted to go out and see the cistern. And so he's out there looking at this huge cistern that they've got to hold water. They do medical clinics. They basically try to meet the needs of the community to make a contact with people so they can share Christ and bring them into the church to disciple them. They offer dental help. They do crusades when they can get enough resources together to do it, and they share their testimonies. Actually, they share their testimonies all the time. If they're driving a Boda, which is a little motorcycle taxi across there, every time they pick somebody up, they're sharing Christ with that person. And they are very dedicated to doing that. And I don't know the count right now, but the last time I heard the count, they had planted 195 churches from people. And he's not part of a denomination. He's not part of a mission board. This is his church sharing Christ, developing disciples who have a heart to go out and to win people to Christ, that they have sent out and established 195 plus churches all across Uganda. That's a great work that God has done. And I just wanted you to kind of get a feel for that. And to realize, you know, I know he can talk about a lot of things, but it's kind of sometimes it's tough to come up there and say, look what God did. But I'm telling you, I don't know many people. I know him and I know Greg that have actually done something like that from scratch just because the Spirit of God led it. And so I want you to welcome back Makumbi. Come on up here. And Philippians 2:29 says this, it says, welcome him. And I think it's weird. Right now this scripture is talking about Makumbi. Welcome him with Christian love and great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. And I know he wouldn't come up here and say he deserves honor, but he has poured his life out for Christ, and God has done an amazing work, and it does fill you with joy, doesn't it?
Amen.
It does.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you just a moment to say whatever you want before I ask you a couple questions.
Good morning, church. This is my church. This is my family church. And when I get back, you know, home, I tell them I have a church in America. So thank you so much for the hospitality. And all Brother Bill has shared with you, it's not me doing it. You know, I look handsome. you know,
kind of
with my head, you know. But okay, this may stop someone or somebody and say, "Who is this guy?" But what makes me is not from outside, is from the inside. And these organs from the inside of me are more important to me than from outside. Now, this is where I'm coming to. Yes, I'm at the front line with our people, but you are more important because you are the hidden organs who are sustaining, who are pushing, who are making our ministry to be to do what they are, what we are doing. You are most important. And without you, there is no way, and this is the truth, there is no way how we could have reached our people. And it's you who is making all the, you know, all this impact in our country. And when, if it's the devil to fight, I'm glad he will not fight me. He will fight you, because if he can get you off, then for us, we are finished. So, and by the way, we always mention your names in our prayers so that God can make you strong. God can protect you from all the evils, you know, from the evil one, and that he may sustain you, that you may continue to be a blessing, that you may continue to stand and to live, you know, until he comes back. So thank you so much for what you are doing. Thank you, thank you. I remember the first time, you know, I stood on this platform, we were almost nothing. I remember Brother Bill, in our church we were 35 members, and, you know, right congregating under a bamboo structured church, you know, structure, we were almost in nothing. But to see, you know, what God has done today, we say Ebenezer. Do you know that word, Ebenezer?
Ebenezer.
Ebenezer.
Okay, yeah.
So thank you so much, and we always pray for you. And brother, I'm coming up with a book. This book is talking about, you know, how we started from scratches to where we are. And I may not mention some of the names of the people here, but I'll mention Eastwood Church in this book. So I'm soon coming up with that book. It's kind of a magazine.
Good.
Yes,
good.
Sir.
Well, as you can see, you know, that's not something that we would stand up and say about ourselves. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to be able to say some things about Macoumbi, because in the scheme of things, it's really God. I mean, I know you're good looking, but you're not you're not that good looking.
Yeah, no, okay? I know.
I don't think this ministry is built on your looks. It's built on the Spirit of God inside of you and your obedience to him. Mm-hmm. And we're really grateful for it. And I did want to mention, because almost all of you know, but some of you who are new don't realize that all of this has been done through individuals who give to him and one church that gives. We're the only church that, like, he's coming and speaking here. He normally doesn't go speak to churches. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a mission board or churches that we're the church that supports him.
Yes.
And we've had a long lasting, like he says, you know, almost three decades relationship as we've watched all these things grow. And so we're grateful for you. And we've talked a lot about the logistics of the things that are going on. And I try to give you a little idea of how things are expanding. And you understand that as you expand things out, it needs more to keep going, because some of those people you send out, they're going to places where there is nothing there.
Yes, sir.
And they're working with people who are living in a place. There's no even stores around there. And so it takes some things to do it. But like he said, he started when we knew him, he had 35 people in there. And so we didn't really support what he was doing. Like, you can go to places now and you can say, "Hey, we're doing this, and we got this orphanage, and we've got this," and we've talked a little about that, and I'll put something up there. But we really were supporting you.
Yes, sir.
And because we could see that that power that God had for you to share the gospel. Amen. And your willingness to sacrifice everything to do it. So I'm going to ask you this question, and if you get lost or forget, you can look at it again. But what is your vision? Actually, that's for me, because you know I'll forget the question. But what is your vision for bringing the good news of the truth of Christ and the love of Christ to Uganda?
Okay. That's not a simple question. Anyway, the vision I have is to make the kingdom, you know, the kingdom kind of life, you know, to bring it closer to our people, you know, in the communities. That is, 'cause I believe that the biggest commission or assignment each one of us was given is to reach out, you know, to further the kingdom. And there's nothing we do all these works, building and so on and so on, but nothing will go with us when we die except that which we've done for Christ.
Yep.
That's what shall go with us. And we shall be rewarded according to what we did for him. So the vision I have is to bring, or you know, as close, the kingdom kind of life close to our people. Whether you are way down in the village, yeah, there is a church, a Christian church where you can go, where you can be taught, where you can hear the message of Christ. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and you can see why we've partnered with him, because he sees things the same way that we do, is that you don't just find a body and send them out. If you're going to impact lives, you got to send somebody who's got life inside of them. Mm-hmm. And that you've got to send, and we talk about that. They do this as a team. They come together united, mm-hmm, in the desire to honor and serve Christ in gratitude for what he's done for them.
Yes.
And so they come out. They send out people who are sold out for Christ. Mm-hmm. And what they want to do is they want to come out there and they want people to see, hey, there's a totally different life. There is a life that's the same physically as what we have, but these people are fulfilled. They are, mm-hmm, living in the fullness of life with joy and peace, and they have love. They give. They're not so worried about the next meal that, mm-hmm, they take. And so, you know, we love what you're doing, and, mm-hmm, it's done one heart at a time.
Amen.
And you're seeing the fruit of a great harvest right here. I've got another question I want to ask you, and that is, how does that vision include equipping your people to fulfill their calling as ambassadors for Christ? Because if there's one thing that those of us who've been over there notice, mm-hmm, you have done a tremendous job of that.
Okay. Reaching out is a huge task, because it's not just reaching out with the gospel alone, you know, preaching the gospel alone, because these people, our people, they are sick, they are needy, they have, you know, they have a lot of needs. So now, when you go out, you need people around you, or to go with people, you know, who can do this. I can do this, I can preach, they can pray, they can help, you know, put up a structure for these elderly people, you know, maybe some, you know, we need people. You have to go with people. You can't do it alone. And the good thing is, when God calls you to do something, he'll bring the rightful people around you to accomplish what God has assigned to you. So now, when Before we go out, or before I go out, or we move out, we have to have well-trained people. You know, how they can reach, minister to others, how they can pray for them, how they can meet their needs, and so on. So these people, according to the vision God has given to us, we train them and we share the vision with them, then we move out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, and that's the gospel plan of doing that. Well, as I said before, we're the one organized structure that supports Mukumbi. Now, I know you've got people that over three decades you have met that do a lot of support for you. But Philippians 1, I think that's 5. Yeah, okay. It says, you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And so what we do at this time is we always tell you, you know, in our church, we want you to give where God leads you in your heart. So we don't pressure people to do that. But many, many of you in here feel called to support Mukumbi's ministry because you feel like he is our missionary. And so we will take donations that we send over to him for a month, and that gives you time to pray about, decide what you want to give, if you want to give. And in June 16th, Aaron will pull all that stuff together, and we will make another deposit in Mukumbi's account. And so just making you aware of that, all you have to do is, if you can't spell Mukumbi's name, that doesn't matter. Just put Uganda, because we're not taking up for TPI. It'll be real clear anything that comes to him. And if you can spell his name, that's fine. But whatever you put in that thing, we'll know if it's going to Uganda or Mukumbi or Victory Living Church, we will get it there. So thank you. And let's give him a round of applause. You can go ahead. Now, I just want to take 1 minute and tie that in, because one of the things, I was talking with somebody who was a seminary graduate that is not pastoring at this time, but desires to be one later. And he was talking, now he's a little bit older, but he was talking about one of the things that he noticed when he was in seminary is that every week they pushed foreign missions. And we need to be a part of foreign missions. But being a part of foreign missions and giving a check does not excuse us from doing ourselves what Mukumbi's doing. Because our calling is not to support someone overseas doing it. We partner with him because we love him, because he's our brother, and God connected us. And so that's part of the love that God wants us to share in our hearts, because we have resources to share with him. But our calling is our calling. And so I just want to read a scripture to bring this down. And hopefully, listening to Mukumbi inspires us not only to want to be a part of what you're doing, but also to be the kind of disciple that you are. And Jesus traveled throughout the towns and villages of that area. So wherever we're going, we need to be doing what Jesus is doing. He's teaching in the synagogues. That's their places of gathering. There are all kinds of places we gather: school, work, wherever you go. Some people gather at Panera Bread. But he's teaching where he's at, and he is announcing the good news of the kingdom. And you heard Mukumbi say that. He wants to bring the kingdom living that we as Christians enjoy as God's family. He wants to expose that to the world who can't see it. People who are together, united by one thing: God is their king. He rules in their hearts. They serve him. And he healed every kind of disease. You notice that he said this before. He said they reach out to people where their need is. And Jesus did that. And I think a lot of times we read things just on the surface, and we don't really realize what the Bible is trying to tell us. It's taking the physical and it's giving us spiritual truths. And in ancient times, when Jesus told a parable, he wasn't talking about actually sowing seed in the ground. He's not talking about an actual farmer. He's talking about sowing the word of God and those principles. And when miracles were done, rather than going, oh, wow, the power of God, people would say, what is the message that God is sending us through this intervention of natural law? What does this represent? What is he trying to say? Jesus healed the blind. Those people, if they didn't find Christ, they died and were separated from him. They could just see it. This represents people who cannot see and are not aware of God. Jesus came, and we are to heal those who cannot see God in their lives. The deaf, these are people who can't hear God. They've got so much going on in their lives, and they've got so many voices and so much advice that they can't hear the advice of God. And they need their ears opened. They're unable to speak, or dumb. And I don't mean dumb as in not very intelligent. I mean dumb as in they can't talk. They can't share. Even things that they know are right, they can't say to people because of the way their life is. And they just don't feel like they can express the things of God. He wants to open and loose their tongues to praise and to exalt God and to point to Christ. There are people who are lame. These are people who just cannot walk straight. They cannot walk through life. They are always stumbling. They are always falling. They just cannot live the way that they're supposed to. The paralyzed, they just don't have strength. They do not have the strength to live and to do the things that God wants them to do. And they need to be encouraged and strengthened. People with leprosy, they just don't feel clean before God. Their sin is tattooed all over them. They cannot get away from realizing what they have done, and they cannot accept the forgiveness of God and forgive themselves. They can't move on. They feel unclean before God. And they need to know, no, the blood of Christ washes you white. And it takes away your sin. And God removes them as far as the east is from the west. And you have a brand new start. And your righteousness is not what you did in the past. It is given to you by Christ. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without shepherd. I want you to catch this part. When Makumbi goes and sees people, he sees the great need they have. But his heart is not drawn to alleviate the great need. That's a tool to be able for them to be able to see the love that motivates him to help, because what they need is the love of God, not another meal. They need more than that. Now, those needs are the open door that you can find and touch people. But he's not coming to bring social help, the social gospel. He's coming to bring the gospel of the good news of Christ. That you can be forgiven, that God can live in your heart, that your life doesn't have to follow the trajectory of your culture. His didn't. And he sees they're confused and helpless, and what they need is they need to have the guidance of God in their life. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are what? The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. I want to tell you, that's the prayer of Christ. That is the great need of the world. There are plenty of Christians around. The problem is when they see people, they're not always compassionate. And when they're compassionate, it's a surface compassion. They don't understand what they really need. We'd rather give them a fish and feel good about it than to teach them what they need to be able to stand on their own and fish the way God intended them to. And so we are to pray that out of all of God's people, that we hear and we follow the call to share that good news and that hope and that love with the people who are next to us. I know that's Makumbi's heart. Yes, he wants to further that mission. And we want to help him with it. But he wants to see us serving Christ too. He wants to see us doing our part. And we need to be praying. I pray that God will give this church, give us as individuals, the gift of evangelism. Because our world needs it. Jesus says this, my food, in John 4:34, he says, my food, what nourishes me, what strengthens me, what keeps me going, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Not build my own kingdom, but to finish God's work of redemption. Do not say 4 months more and then harvest. I tell you, open your eyes. See the people around you. Look at the fields. It's God's field. They are ripe for harvest. Now, a lot of times we use the excuse, there are some places that they have so much difficulty that any hope offered by God, they're looking because they need hope anywhere. And we're in a place where people don't think they need God. But you know, sometimes the rains come. Sometimes they come early. Sometimes you look out there and that field has got fruit everywhere. It's easy pickings. Sometimes there's not very much. And when it pops up, you better go through and glean and get what you can. They're in that situation right now. The rains came early and they didn't plant. And so they're going to have a harvest, but it's not enough to feed everybody. They can't afford to let what comes up go. They got to go get what's there when it comes. They've got to be ready. They've got to have people who are looking to get whatever fruit comes up. They can't look out at the field and go, well, this is not going to be a good harvest. This is going to be too hard. This is going to be a lot of work. You can't walk out and say, well, there's no grapes on this vine. So there's just a few up here. It's too hard. It's not going to matter enough. You better get what food you can. And we may be in a place where the harvest is more difficult at this time, but we're called to get it. We're called to get that harvest because it's important. It's important not just to God, it's important to us because we want to build that community of God that's strong to go on to that next generation. So what I want to do is give you just a moment to think about this and then we're going to pray. Here's what we need and here's what we need to pray about. We need compassion. Real compassion for the souls and the hearts of people. People who are separated from God, and if they don't find God, they're going to be separated forever. We need workers. We can't sit back and hope somebody else goes, because that person probably doesn't know the people in your family. They probably don't know the people around you at your job. They probably don't know the kids in your classroom. And you're the one who has to go out. We need prayer. You know, people don't pray that God would send out workers and that everyone who is ripe for harvest, who has an open heart, has someone who shares with them. People don't pray for that. Why? Because they don't have that compassion that God wants. They don't see the need. We need compassion. We need workers. We need prayer. We need everyone. We need everyone to shine their light and everyone to be thinking about whatever part God gives you. It's probably not going to be as big as Macumbi's. But whatever part he gives you, that's your part. We need you. And so what I want you to do is take just a moment and respond to God. And just pray whatever God has put on your heart. Express that to him. And surrender your life, whatever he wants for you. Father, your word tells us that you created each one of us. And we're created by you and for you. And you decided both the place and the time in which we would live. And you put Macumbi across the world, living in a totally different culture. But you put us here. And you gave us resources to be a part of your great work there. But we also realize, Lord, that there are souls that need to know you here. Give us a hunger for you. A hunger for you that makes us appreciate who you are. That gives us a heart that is so overwhelmed with how you love us and how you've forgiven us and how merciful and great you are. and what you've done in our lives, that we have a burning desire for others to find that joy, to find that peace, to find that hope, to find faith in you and salvation in Christ. Lord, we pray that you will take our lives and whatever your plan for us is, and whoever you plan for us to touch, help us to live for you. Help us to be filled with the satisfaction of knowing that we are committed to, and we are working for, and we are accomplishing your purpose for us. That whether our work is big or small, that it's meaningful to you because you love every single person, and that you are pleased with our submission and surrender and obedience to your call. Help us to express our love to you in action, not just words. Just like you did when you demonstrated your love for us by sending your only unique son to die on that cross to demonstrate your love for us. We thank you and we praise you, and we pray, Lord, that every Christian in every nation would stand up and would pray and be filled with your Spirit and be bold to share your love, and that every nation would come to see your greatness and worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.